Welcome to another episode of Pooh on Sports. Once again, I am your host, Big Pooh. Before we go any further, I'd like to thank everybody that's been listening to the podcast. I'd like to thank everybody that's been sharing the podcast, man. Please continue to tune in. It's only going to get better from here. I'm just here to give you my takes, my opinions on what's going on in the world of sports. So here we are with another episode. Episode 3 of Pooh on Sports begins right now. Y'all know how we do, man. We start off every episode of Pooh on Sports with my album of the day. And today's album, I'm taking y'all back to 2001, a group called Zero Seven, and the album is called Simple Things. All I used to listen to, man, before college was R&B and hip-hop. That's it. That's all I listened to. I got to school, met different people, started getting put on to other genres of music, and one of those people that was the most influential was my partner, my brother, Fonte. For those that don't know, I met Fonte in 1998. Met Ninth Wonder shortly after. We went on to form the group Little Brother. But before we did that, Fonte and I hosted a radio show on our college campus radio. It was only heard on campus on one of the TV stations. That's how I was hooked up. It was one of the TV stations on our cable. It was actually a radio channel. And it was all shows that students had all the radio shows on this channel. And we had a radio show and we played no hip hop. We played no R&B, traditional R&B on this radio show. Fonte ended up introducing me to so many different genres of music, so many different artists that I wouldn't have heard of if it wasn't for that radio show, if it wasn't him sharing his musical knowledge with me. Zero Seven ended up being one of those groups that I got put on to, and this became one of my favorite albums. So make sure y'all go check that album out, Zero Seven. Yeah!
One piece.
When people say sports is rigged, sports is fixed, all they have to do now is point to Sunday. We had possibly two of the most horribly called conference championship games in the history of the NFL, at least as long as I've been watching. I've never seen so many missed calls, wrong calls. Just, it was egregious what was going on the field. And I thought the NFL was supposed to send two of their best officiating crews for these games. Like, you sent, I mean, these crews worse than the replacement officials that you had a few years ago. That's how bad these games were officiated. Terribly. You have the missed pass interference call that was clear. Stevie Wonder saw that shit. You had the phantom roughing the passer call on Tom Brady that extended a drive. You had the missed blatant face mask of Jared Goff as he was scrambling that would have gave the Rams a first down. That was just a few of the missed calls, the egregious missed calls that happened on Sunday. And it marred two pretty good games. It marred the matchups that everybody wanted to see. The one in the two teams in both conferences actually made it to the conference championship and were playing it out to see who was going to go to the Super Bowl and ultimately win the Super Bowl. The four best teams in the NFL all season were competing for the championship. And you had it scarred by terrible officiating. NFL, you need to get your shit together. What is you doing, baby?
One piece.
Now, everybody want to quick to say or quick to point out that the Saints should be going to the Super Bowl. They were cheated with that pass interference call or non-call. Everybody knows it was a pass interference. Even the cornerback, he knows. I mean, you can't debate it. He hit him above the shoulders. Should have been helmet to helmet or roughing the defenseless receiver. It should have been a pass interference. It should have been all type of shit. But I'm not one of them people that say one call makes a game. It was a lot of calls or a lot of missed plays on the field. And I specifically want to talk about how even with that missed pass interference call, I want to know what we're not talking about because of that call was so crazily missed. What we're not discussing, what series of plays was Sean Payton calling on that final drive in regulation? Like, once you got into scoring position, once you were in field goal position, I'm not one of them guys that try to play it safe, but once you got in that field goal position, all you should have been thinking about if you were Sean Payton is bleeding that clock out so the Rams have at least amount of time as possible, forcing them to call all of their timeouts and not risking a turnover. Because all you needed was a field goal to win the game. You didn't need a touchdown. You needed to bleed that clock out more than you needed a touchdown. And what did they do? Sean Payton tries to throw a wide receiver screen or flare, whatever the hell that play is called, incomplete. Stop the clock. Don't have to burn the timeout. Then you run the ball. Then you throw that pass on third down that should have been a pass interference. But if you're doing what you should have been doing, you don't even have that play. We're not even discussing this. You're on your way to Atlanta for the Super Bowl. Because if you would have ran, once you got down there, if you would have ran that ball three times, regardless, as long as you didn't lose hella yards, if you would have ran that ball three times, you would have forced them to call their two remaining timeouts and you would have bled the shit out of that clock. You would have kicked that field goal. They would have had less than 39 seconds, the 39 seconds that they took to go down the field to kick their field goal. You would have had less time than that on the clock for them to do something with no timeouts to do it with. And the game, effectively, barring a penalty or two, would have been over. So, yeah, that play was... That missed pass interference call was big, but that doesn't negate the horrible play calling of Sean Payton in that series that led to them attempting that pass, that led to them believing that and that only is why they didn't end up going to the Super Bowl. Nah, bruh, that ain't it. That's just part of the story. The rest of the story says you called a horrible series. Well, a horrible series of plays once you got down into scoring position. And that led to you having to pass the ball, which you shouldn't have been doing anyway at that point in the game. But hey, who am I? I'm just somebody that was on my couch eating popcorn, watching the game like most of America. And while we're talking about plays or calls that affected the game just as much as the officiating crew, we can't forget what happened in Kansas City. We can't forget it. I'm sitting and I'm watching the game, and when the Chiefs got down the field and scored so quickly, at that point I said, damn, they fucked up. They left Tom Brady too much time. We all knew it. When they got the ball with 3 minutes and some change left, the first thing I screamed was, man, they better not fucking go down and score fast. That's all I was thinking about. Not only did you need to score, you had two objectives. You need to score and you need to take time off the clock. They scored, didn't take enough time off the clock. Tom Brady did what Tom Brady did. Obviously, he was aided by some calls. But the Chiefs got put in a position where their weakness all season needed, their defense that is, needed to make a play. And I know everybody want to point to the D Ford. If he went offsides, you know, then that's an interception and the game is over. That's very true. But are we not going to talk about the numerous third and sevens, third and eights, third and sixes where Tom Brady was just throwing strikes to Julian Edelman and Rob Gronkowski? That's it. That's it. That's all he was doing. And at no time, at no point in time, did the Chiefs defensive coordinator not think to double Rob Gronkowski or Julian Edelman. At no point in time, you didn't bracket either one of those players correctly, if you even attempted to, but correctly, to prevent Tom Brady from going down the field and completing all of them plays on third down. So, yeah, you had a couple calls that went against you. The D4 call, that was a legit call. That was just bad on D4. That pass interference call was bullshit. Not pass interference, that roughing the passer call on Tom Brady was bullshit. But you still had chances to win that game. Your defense and your defensive coordinator let you down, Kansas City. It wasn't just the officials. They let you down. In overtime, Tom Brady, your star quarterback, Pat Mahomes, did not touch the football because Tom Brady methodically drove down the field on that drive in overtime to score the touchdown to not even let your best player touch the field because your defense could not make a play. Your defense constantly allowed Julian Edelman and Rob Gronkowski to make big plays on third down. Your defense couldn't stop the running game. Your defense couldn't stop a running nose on Sunday. So, yes, the officiating affected the game, but your defense gave that game away. Your defense gave that game away. Another big event this weekend was the Adrian Broner, Manny Pacquiao fight. I'm going to be honest with y'all. I ain't watched the fight. I ain't watch it. I'm not a fan of Adrian Broner. Pacquiao, he's lost a step or two or three. Still think, and obviously, I figure he would beat Broner. But I was just like, I'll catch that fight when it comes on Showtime, you know, a week after the pay-per-view, because I just wasn't interested, man. Like, it didn't excite me. It didn't inspire me to pony up the bread for the pay-per-view or to go somewhere so I can watch it. Like, I just didn't care. But what I did care about was the post-fight interview. That's what I was here for. That's what everybody was here for. The post-fight interview. And Adrian Broner never disappoints. And I just want to say this, man. If Adrian Broner spent as much time working on his craft as he does at trying to be a horrible version of Floyd Mayweather outside of the ring, that boy may be unstoppable. But he not. He took what Floyd did outside of the ring to market himself to a very low level. Like, if Floyd was doing clown shit, you're doing buffoon shit, bruh. And it may be entertaining, but it also begs to wonder, have you got hit in that head too many times? Have you took too many hooks? Cause, hey man, y'all seen the post-fight interview. Thank y'all for tuning in to another episode of Pooh on Sports. I'm your host, Big Pooh. Make sure you check us out right here every week, anchor.fm/poolonsports or your favorite place to listen to podcasts. And if we're not on your favorite platform, trust and believe we're working diligently to make that happen. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend that Pool on Sports is back. And don't forget, you can also email poollovessports@gmail.com. If you got anything you want to say about anything I'm saying in any of these episodes, or you can hit me up on social media, Rapper Big Pooh on Twitter, on Instagram. That's RappBigPooh on Twitter, on Instagram, and on Facebook, Rapper Big Pooh and the number one. Until next week, y'all. Love is love.